I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Kia ora, welcome to the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast and thanks for tuning in this week. I'm your host Jordan, I'm a mum of one, soon to be two boys and a lover of all things birth and a very passionate storyteller. The goal of Kiwi Birth Tales is to empower, inform, educate and connect families from New Zealand and all over the world, talking about the things that are so often kept to ourselves or shared with only our nearest and dearest because of this taboo that seems to surround sharing stories about birth. All stories deserve to be heard, no story more important than the other, and with this podcast you'll get a variety without bias. The podcast is not intended for medical advice. I'm not an advocate for any particular mode of birth or birth care, and this platform is simply here to share these beautiful, empowering Kiwi Birth Tales with you all. So I hope you enjoy. In this week's episode of Kiwi Birth Tales, I speak with Hannah, and Hannah takes us through her two pregnancy and birth stories. In her first pregnancy, Hannah talks about how she remained active and what she was doing in terms of birth preparation. And then she talks us through her waters breaking spontaneously into a hospital birth where she had an episiotomy and Vontuse assistance to get her baby into the world. She speaks about it in a really positive way, which I think is super nice. So I know that you're going to enjoy that part of the episode. And then we talk to Hannah about her second pregnancy, where again, she was super active all the way through her pregnancy. And she ended up going into labor and planning to have and did have a home birth. So she decided to have a home birth and she did some work in the hypnobirthing space and she did Your Birth Project, which is awesome to hear about. So she talks us through all of that and then into a really beautiful home birth story. So two quite different births, both really positive, and I know that you're going to enjoy the episode. So I will let Hannah talk you through it. Enjoy. Hi, Hannah. Thanks so much for joining me on the podcast today.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
No problem. It's my pleasure. Would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about you and who is in your family?
Sure. So I'm Hannah. I live in Dunedin, sunny Dunedin, with my husband, Matthew, who's a firefighter. And we've got two beautiful baby boys. Albie, he'll still always be my baby, even though he was two in February. Mm-hmm. And Miller, who just turned 7 weeks. I didn't go back to work after I had Albie, so I'm officially a stay-at-home mum. And as the accent suggests, I'm from England, but I've been here for nearly 10 years. So the accent's still going strong. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. And do you want to take us through what the journey was like to pregnancy for you guys the first time?
Sure. So when I was maybe 15, I got diagnosed with endometriosis. And upon that diagnosis, I was sort of questioning whether that was going to make the journey to pregnancy a bit tricky. And I was told that I wouldn't really know until we started trying. So yeah, that was always in the back of my mind, I suppose. And I've been on various contraceptions, like most people, I guess, for about 15 years or so. So after we got married in 2016, we, you know, started thinking about having babies, and I had the Myrina in, and I got that taken out in the end of 2017, and we conceived Albie in 2018. I think it was about the May. We were in the process of buying a house, so we sort of had a cut-off date, like as soon as the house had gone through, then we'd start trying. And yeah, we found out we were pregnant a couple of weeks before that date, so it was a little bit sooner than we sort of expected, but everything with the house all went through perfectly. So yeah, a little bit sooner than we'd originally planned, but it all worked out amazing. Yeah. So it was all good. Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. And do you want to talk us through finding out you were pregnant? So did you have many symptoms that made you think you should take a test, or yeah, what happened there?
Sure. So I, my husband and I are quite into like keeping active, going to the gym and stuff. And I was at the gym one evening and I felt a really weird like tugging sensation in my lower tummy. And I thought, oh my God, I've never felt that before. Like while I was doing an exercise and I was like, oh my God, I bet I'm pregnant. Just as soon as I felt that, I thought that. And I came home that night, Matt was on night shift, and the whole night I was like, oh my God, imagine if I'm pregnant. Like I just couldn't get it out of my head. And so when he came home the next day, he was like, what's wrong? Like I obviously looked a bit concerned and I was like, I think I'm pregnant. And he was like, oh, don't be dramatic. Like we'll just go to the shop, we'll get a test. Like I'm sure that you're not. And so got home, did the test, and I like made him go into the bathroom to look, and he came out and he was like, oh my God. And I was like, stop it. Just I think seeing those two lines in that instant just makes it so real. Yeah. Like, you know, you can never go back. You're like, oh my God, I'm pregnant. So I decided to tell our family back in the UK pretty much straight away, just because we were so excited. But we waited till 12 weeks to tell our friends, and the whole time before we had our like first scan, I was so nervous it was going to be twins, because Matt's a twin and my dad's a twin as well.
Really funny.
And so the whole time, although Matt was like, oh, how cool would it be if we had twins, and I was like, oh, reality of having twins is scary. Yeah. So we were happy when we went to the scan and there was just one baby. So
yeah, awesome, cool. And what were you feeling like in that first trimester? So once you sort of found out, did you have many symptoms that came on from there, and what were those first 12 weeks like?
Yeah, just the normal like sickness. I felt kind of tired, which looking back now that I have a toddler and a tiny baby, I sort of laughed. God, yeah. I thought that was tired. But no, I felt really good. Like I kept exercising, going to the gym, really active, and I think that definitely helped actually. I kind of went off food, like anything healthy, like fruit, vegetables didn't interest me. I literally just wanted white carbs, like plain bread and butter, and weirdly plain pasta with like nothing on it, literally just plain pasta. But other than that, like pretty much as soon as I hit 12 weeks, I didn't really have any symptoms, so I was super lucky.
Awesome, cool. And what about the rest of your pregnancy? So did you do the sort of standard testing that's offered in New Zealand, and did you find out the sex?
So we did all of the standard testing that was offered, but we didn't find out the sex. I absolutely loved not knowing. Like I can completely understand why people find out, but I love surprises, and oh my God, what a surprise. It was, but the whole time I was convinced that Albie was going to be a girl, not because I had this like overwhelming, you know, maternal thing that he was going to be a girl. I just really hated saying it about my bump. That was the one thing I didn't like about not knowing the sex. I was like, oh, it's moving, it's doing this. And so I just started saying she, and then I was like, oh, I guess we're having a girl. And then so we did definitely get a surprise when he popped out and was a boy. But it was took a bit of getting used to with all of the like testing and stuff, because the midwife model here is really different to what I know in England. My mother-in-law's a midwife, and you just like go to the clinic and see whoever. So it was actually really nice that we, you know, were able to see the same person the whole time. Just the stuff that they tell you to do, or I don't know, like the scans that they do are really different over here, so that definitely took some getting used to.
Awesome. And did you keep up your exercise as well throughout the rest of your pregnancy?
I did. So I was actually really lucky. Other than having a big tummy, I pretty much like had no pregnancy symptoms, like no extra pressure down there, or like no shortness of breath, like nothing. So I was super lucky that I could keep going pretty much as I was going before I was pregnant. And I think because I was doing that before I got pregnant, it wasn't really like a big deal. But the looks that people give you when you're still going to the gym and you've got a huge tummy, Yeah, so that was quite funny. But ironically, my last session at the gym, my coach made everybody strap medicine balls under their shirts with like duct tape. And so you should have heard the boys complaining. And I was like, oh, hey, I'm literally doing this every single time every that I day. Come here and in life. Yeah. So yeah. No, it was really good. And yeah, in my mind, I was like, I'm doing some good prep for birth and labor by, you know, keeping active and mobile and stuff. So yeah, yes. I was really lucky. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Nice. And did you do any antenatal classes or like birth education, or did you find any books or anything like that useful in your first pregnancy?
So I read the Ina May's Guide to Childbirth. Is that nice. What it's called?
Yeah.
Yep. Like everybody else, I'm sure. And I also read the Mongan Method. Is that
oh, nice. Called? Yeah.
Yeah. I found those two really, really helpful. Definitely recommend them to everybody. And we did go to the Parent Centre antenatal class here in Dunedin. I guess, as everybody says, it wasn't super helpful for like afterbirth or something since I've had babies that I find really interesting is like the physiological side of birth. So like what actually happens to your body during labor. And I found that, yeah, like looking back, they didn't really touch on that. But having said that, I've made some absolutely amazing friends through it. And it was so nice to have those people, especially like not being from Dunedin. It was really nice to get a mum group of friends. And practically all of us now are on to number two. So we'll be doing it all again, messaging each other in the middle of the night and stuff. So yeah, I'm really glad that we went, but yeah, I don't know how useful it was overall.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. And
did you have much of a birth plan or like thoughts on how you wanted this birth to go the first time around?
Yeah, I definitely wanted to have the baby in the hospital. We don't have a birth centre or anything in Dunedin, so it was pretty much either a home birth or hospital.
Yeah.
And although the idea of a home birth appealed to me, I was just really nervous. Obviously, I'd never done it before, so I didn't know how I was going to cope or anything like that. So, yeah, I talked through everything with my midwife, and I really wanted a water birth. I was super keen for that. And yeah, other than gas and air, I didn't really think too much about anything else, but I was really open. Like if I needed anything else, then, you know, I'd be open to that. I had a birth playlist, which I put quite a lot of songs on from, we did quite a lot of traveling before we came to New Zealand. And so, you know, like stuff that was meant something to us. I was like, I'll get the endorphins flowing and all that sort of stuff. And we had heaps of songs that we played at our wedding. So that was really important that I wanted that on, you know, in the background. But other than that, I didn't really, you know, I wasn't like too set on what I wanted.
Awesome. Cool. And what about preparation for birth? Like, I know there's lots of things people say that they do, but were you doing antenatal expressing or drinking raspberry leaf tea, or did you do a perineal massage, anything like that?
I only really had the raspberry leaf tea. I ate loads of dates as well. My midwife, yeah, if you have a look, there's actually quite a lot of stuff about how dates can help. I don't know if it's like bring on labor or I don't know, prepare you for labor or whatever. So I was eating dates, but oh yeah, I wouldn't really recommend that. I don't like them. They're horrible. But other than raspberry leaf tea, I wasn't doing too much, just like bouncing on the Swiss ball and stuff. But obviously I'll go into it, but Albie came a little bit early, so I didn't really feel like I had to you know, do too much to like bring labor on. But yeah, I hadn't really done too much research into like antenatal expressing or perineal massage or anything, so I wasn't doing anything like that the first time around.
Awesome. Cool. And you just mentioned that you went a little bit early, so do you want to take us through your labor starting, how far along you were, and then into your birth story?
Sure, the exciting stuff. So I was 39 and 4, and the whole time in my pregnancy, Albie had been sitting really high. So, you know, everyone was like, oh, your bump's never dropped. And like his head was never more than 2/5 engaged. And all of my friends in antenatal were like, oh, you know, baby's like 4/5 engaged. I can feel it's dropped. And I remember the night that I went into labor, I was at a friend's house and I was like, this baby's literally going to live in me forever. Like I've never had any niggles, nothing. I've just got a big tummy, like no tightenings, nothing. And the friend's house who I was at is my neighbour across the road, and we'd ordered pizza, and I was reaching across the table to grab another piece of pizza, and my water's just like popped. And most people are like, it's not a gush, but oh my God, mine was like movie style gush. Mm. And I was mortified that I was at someone's house on their dining chair. And I just looked at Matt and I said, oh my God, Matt, my water's just broke. And the husband of our friend was like, oh my God, what? And Matt was like, we've got to go home, the baby's coming. And I was like, right, don't be dramatic. Like, let me just go to the bathroom. I'm just going to, like, you know, see what's going on and we'll just go from there. So I went to the bathroom and I was like, okay, yeah, I really want to go home. This is quite horrible. So we were walking across the road and Matt was like, wait, in antenatal class, they told us to, like, check what color the waters are. And so it was still like, this sounds horrible, but it was still like gushing out. And he was like looking in the gutter. And I was like, Matt, get inside. Like, people are going to be looking. Stop looking in the gutter at my waters. So it was like one of those really funny now looking back. But I was like, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. Like, I'm not having any contractions. Like, does it mean that the baby's coming? Like, I literally have no idea. So I got out my notes that my lovely midwife had given me, and it was like, if your waters break, ring the midwife. So it was a Sunday night, and so I rang the backup midwife because my midwife was off, and she was like, okay, can you still feel the baby moving? And I was like, I can, but it just feels a bit different now. And I wasn't sure if that was something because there was no water there, or like if something was wrong, or I like had no idea. So she said, do you want to come into the hospital just so we can double check, you know, like monitor baby for a little bit? So I was like, yeah. So we did that, and she hooked me up to the monitor. You could see that I was having contractions, but I couldn't feel anything. So she sent us home, and she just said, just see how you go tonight, and I'll get Jane, who was my midwife, to call you in the morning. So again, I still wasn't having any contractions or anything by that point, but I woke up at about 1 o'clock in the morning, having some really mild contractions. And so my midwife ended up coming around at about 9 o'clock that morning. I told her I didn't want her to examine me at that time because I knew that, you know, I was like nowhere near needing to go to hospital. So we just decided to stay at home. I think we watched some movies. I tried to eat a little bit, and I was hopping in and out of the bath and the shower, but super manageable. And then at maybe 6 o'clock that night, she examined me, and I was 7 centimeters. So she was like, oh, we can mosey down to hospital. You know, no need to rush or anything. So we went down to the hospital, and it's only like a 10-minute drive from my house. But oh my God, that car journey was literally the worst thing ever. And I don't know why, but I didn't think to sit on the back seat so that I could be on all fours. And so every time I had a contraction, I was like to Matt, pull over. And I took my seatbelt off, and I had to like turn around and kneel up and hold on to the headrest. And at one point we pulled up outside a restaurant, and it was, you know, 7 p.m. or whatever. And all of these people were like looking at me, like moaning in the car, holding onto the headrest. Yeah, so anyway, that was a bit dramatic, but we went up to the maternity ward, and as soon as we walked in the door, I had like the biggest contraction, and I was bending over this windowsill, and a midwife came out, and she was like, do you feel pushy? And I was like, I can't talk. Oh, this is horrible. And then as soon as it was over, I was like, oh no, I'm fine. I'm so sorry. That was so dramatic. She just started laughing. Like, it's amazing in between contractions, like you feel absolutely fine. Yeah, so anyway, when I got into the room, I asked for some gas and air just because it was, yeah, that was about 7 p.m. And so I'd been having contractions since 1 a.m. So I was kind of over it then. And I absolutely loved the gas and air. I felt like I'd had 2 bottles of wine. It was the best thing ever. So, yeah, I got in the water at the pool, at the hospital, sorry. And Matt got told to wash his hands. By my midwife. She was like, do you want to catch the baby? Okay, you better go wash your hands. And I was like, oh my God, this is happening so quickly, like the baby's coming. And then as soon as I thought that, the song that I walked down the aisle came on to, came on our playlist, and I was crying, and I was like, this is so beautiful, like everything that I wanted is happening. But then it kind of went a bit downhill from there, because she kept putting the Doppler in the water. And I think because I hadn't been continuously monitored, baby's heart rate was a little bit low, but she kept saying she couldn't tell if it had dipped or if it was continuously low, just because I hadn't been monitored, you know, continuously. And so she had a couple more listens and she was like, oh, okay, I think it's time that you hop out of the water. And so I did, and she called a doctor in, and the doctor said to me, we can take a blood sample from baby's head and check the oxygen levels, I think they do, in the blood, to see if baby's struggling or what's going on, or we can just pop the suction cup on and we'll give you a little cut and baby will be here. And in my head I thought, oh my god, they're going to take blood from the baby's head and send it off to a lab or something. And I was like, how long is that going to take? Because I specifically remember her just saying, we'll send the sample away. And I thought, oh my god, no, like, I'm really over this, I just want to meet the baby. But then afterwards, when I said that to my midwife, she was like, oh no, there's a machine like outside the room that they just pop the sample into and it tells you. And I was like, oh no, I really wish that I'd known that. But you know, you're not very level-headed and you don't really ask the right questions at the time. So anyway, I was, you know, at the time I was like, yeah, I'm happy for you to do a Vontus. So I did a couple of big pushes and out popped Albie, and he was popped straight up onto my chest. And straight away I was like, oh my god, I need to look what he is, you know, what the baby is. And I lifted up his leg and I looked up to Matt and I was like, what the heck, it's a boy. Like, I was so surprised. And because my midwife knew that we thought he was going to be a girl, she was like, does this little boy have a name? And I was like, yeah, Albie. And I looked at Matt and I was like, you still like that, yeah? Because we just thought that he was a girl the whole time. We had one boy name, one girl name. So that was cool. And then I got him latched on straight away, and that was actually really good. I was super lucky. He was like drinking straight away. I didn't really have any problems at that time. But while he was latched on to me, they had to stitch me up. I think I had 4 stitches just from the episiotomy. Yeah. And oh my god, where they'd like injected the like numbing stuff down there to cut you, that had started wearing off. And oh my god, it was like literally the worst thing. And I just remember thinking, can you take this baby off me, because like I'm really distressed and I want to enjoy this moment and I just can't because this is so painful. So I handed him over to Matt and he went for some skin to skin with Matt. But yeah, oh my god, that was honestly like the worst thing out of the whole process. But yeah, my midwife said that the, you know, it was as clean as can be and stuff. So that was good. So I should sort of said he was born at 12 minutes past 10. So we got to the hospital at 7. So from, you know, first baby, I guess, and I only actually needed to do a couple of pushes. So it did happen quite quickly, which I was pretty lucky, about. Yeah. And I was able to get up and about once they'd finished stitching me up, and I had managed to have a shower and stuff. And we went into the postnatal ward at about 1 o'clock in the morning. And Matt was able to stay that first night, which was really good. And yeah, we ended up staying 2 nights. So that first full night, and then the next night Matt went home because we've got a dog and, you know, he needed to make sure she was all good and stuff. And I just wanted to make sure that I had feeding established. And I was just really conscious that like the midwives don't come home with you, you know, from the hospital. So I just wanted to make sure that we were all set before we went home. So they were really, really nice in the hospital. But Dunedin Hospital's in the process of being rebuilt, like we're getting a new hospital down here, so the hospital itself is not very nice. And it was a really weird feeling. I felt like I was like waiting for something, you know, like being in bed, and I was like, I feel fine and Albie's fine. And so I was really ready to go home. We were sort of like pacing up and down the corridor thinking, oh, what do we do now, you know? So I was super happy to get home.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. And how did you feel at home, I guess, in those first few days? Just like life-changing experience having your new baby there, and did you notice your milk coming in, and did you notice like a change in your hormones in terms of like the baby blues or anything like that?
I was actually really lucky. I didn't have any of that. I felt really, really good. I managed to like get out and about walking a couple of days postpartum. I did find my milk coming in really distressing, if I'm honest. Like, I don't think anyone could prepare you for how painful that is. And like just getting him latched on, and you know, you're so like engorged, and yeah, that was really horrible. And I didn't really know how to like combat that. I was in the shower at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to like hand express just to take the pressure off. But once it settled down, Albie was like the most amazing feeder, and I never got sore nipples or anything like that, so I was super lucky with that. The only thing, he was like the cruisiest baby. I don't know how, like, we literally hit the jackpot with him, but he was the most horrific sleeper. Like, he used to wake up like 10 times a night or something. So I guess I found that quite difficult. And nobody can prepare you for how hard that is. But other than that, like, it never bothered him. He never woke up grumpy or anything like that. So that was a silver lining. But yeah, I absolutely adore being a mum, and I felt like it was like my calling in life. So I never had any like problems, I guess. Another thing I wanted to mention was I was really lucky with breastfeeding in that I never had any issues, but because of that, I was really keen to just keep him on the breast as much as possible. But it came back to bite me because he never took a bottle, like literally till he was like one. He would just like cry every time he saw a bottle. And so I found that really hard because I felt like I just had to be like chained to him. Those first 6 months, like even leaving the house for an hour, I was like, am I going to get home and he's going to be screaming, you know? So that was really difficult. So I was lucky in the sense that I never had any problems, but yeah, that was quite difficult, that and the no sleep. And I was the first out of my close friends to have a baby. So other than the antenatal girls, I kind of felt a bit isolated, like not going back to work and being at home with a baby all the time. And like everyone was really good about coming to visit, but it was like they were just coming to visit to see the new baby and that was it, you know. But my mum and dad came out from England when Albie was maybe 2 weeks old, and they stayed for like 6 weeks. So that was super helpful for mum to be like cooking for me and stuff. And really nice to have some company when Matt went back to work, because I made him take a couple of weeks off, and then he like, I remember Albie being a few days old and he was like, why am I even at home? Like, I can't do anything, and he's super cruisy. And I was like, yeah, I know, but I need some company, I need to talk. I went back to the gym when he was about 6 weeks old, which was really good, and that became my time to, you know, have some time to myself without baby and not to be Albie's mum, to be Hannah again. So that was really nice.
And what about your birth? So how did you feel sort of, you know, in those postpartum months when you got the chance to reflect on your birth, and how was your actual physical recovery from your birth?
Physical recovery was really, really good. I stopped bleeding maybe like a week later or something. So I was, I'd never had any, nothing hard after I'd had him. And I don't know if that was because I was exercising or what, but I was really lucky. Like, looking back on my birth, it definitely wasn't how I wanted it to be, but I'm really comfortable in the decisions that I made. Like, at the time, it was definitely the right thing for me. Like, I was so fed up, I was really tired, and I just wanted to meet the baby. And my darling midwife, she's a lovely lady called Jane down here in Dunedin, and I remember specifically like doing a post-birth like run through, you know, how did you feel about everything and stuff, and like talking to her about why stuff happened and like why I had to get out of the pool and like why at the time that was the best thing to do and stuff. I definitely think that kind of helped, because, you know, looking back on birth, it's like a bit of a blur and it kind of feels like it didn't actually happen to you. A bit of like an out of body experience, I guess. So I think that really helped. But yeah, I'm really happy with how it went in the circumstances.
Awesome. Cool. And do you want to talk us through, I obviously know that you have two children, so do you want to talk us through, I guess, how your journey to pregnancy the second time around happened, and maybe before that, if you want to just talk to us about any sort of like relationship changes or shifts that you noticed in that postpartum period, and how did you and your husband sort of juggle the load, I guess, between the two of you?
Yeah, I think I don't really think our relationship changed. Like, Matt's absolutely amazing. He's the most beautiful husband ever. But I think I'm really lucky in that because he is a firefighter, he's at home a lot, mm-hmm. like with his shifts and stuff. So that actually made a massive difference. Like, I think lots of dads don't get it because yeah. they only, you know, they leave at 7 a.m. and they get home at 5 p.m. And so they only see like a tiny window. Mm-hmm. And then at the weekends, it's like all the fun stuff. Yeah, I think that he definitely.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Definitely understands what it was like for me every day. Yeah. And thankfully, Albie is a real daddy's boy. So I think mm-hmm. that because he's at home so much, they've got like a really lovely bond, and he always goes down to the fire station to see him and stuff, which is so nice. But I said to Matt, I really need another baby because Albie just doesn't love me. So I need another baby that loves me because, Albie just adores his daddy. So we sort of started talking about having another baby. And we were supposed to be going home for my sister's wedding in May of this year, but obviously because of COVID, that did not happen. Mm. So we were like, oh, well, because we're not going back to the UK, I guess we should try for another baby. And again, we were super lucky, like that happened maybe even before we thought it was going to. Yeah, I guess it was pretty much the same as the first time around, like happened a little bit before we were expecting. And yeah, so that's how we fell pregnant with Miller.
Yeah, awesome. And how were you feeling in this pregnancy? Was it much different to your first? And did you have any symptoms in that first trimester?
So at the beginning, it was pretty different. Like, I think I was quite a bit more sick. I don't think I ever actually threw up, or maybe a couple of times. I can't really remember, but yeah, way more tired. I definitely think that was because of running around after a toddler. And I don't know, most people seem to say that they're a lot more tired and a bit more poorly the second time. Mm. So I can definitely relate to that. And just the same, like I only wanted really plain foods. And yeah, I guess I didn't really have anything other than that. I had really low iron. I had that with Albie as well. And I had that this time around. So I just had to keep an eye on that. And the way that I found out that I was pregnant, I was at the gym again. So that must just be the place that I know that I'm pregnant. And I was in the middle of a workout, and it wasn't like that hard. Just sort of normal CrossFit HIIT stuff. And I felt so sick. Like, I literally had to stop in the middle of the workout. And I said to Matt, I feel so sick, like I'm going to throw up. And my coach was like, you better not be pregnant. And I said to him, if I am, this is the first that I know about it. But if I am, like, I wouldn't be surprised, just because we weren't being super careful. I literally must have been about 3 weeks when that happened, so like super early, and I did a test and it came back negative. And as soon as I saw that it was negative, I like knew that I was pregnant, and I said to myself, oh no, it's too early, like that's why it's negative, it's not that I'm not pregnant. And so I waited a couple of days, and I did one later, and it came back positive. And I'd always said to Matt, when we find out the second time, do you want me to do it with you, or do you want me to do it by myself and I'll do something to like tell you that I'm pregnant? He was like, no, do it by yourself and then do something. So as soon as I saw it was positive again, I was like, oh my God, we're going to have two babies. Like in that instant, your whole life changes, doesn't it? And so I went to the warehouse that afternoon with Albie, and I bought a plain white t-shirt, and I just wrote on the front of it, number one big brother. And when Matt got home from work, he like opened the door and he looked at Albie and he looked at me and he was like, no, no, no. And I was like, yes. So going back for more second time around. So yeah, that was pretty cool. That's how we found out. But yeah, other than the sickness and feeling a bit tired, I felt really good. So that was good.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Cool. And what about the rest of your pregnancy? Did you do the sort of standard testing again? And was this one a secret? And yeah, how were you feeling?
Yeah, I was still feeling really good. Again, I was still going to the gym all the time, and yeah. I did not find out the sex this time either, which it was, yeah, I feel really strongly about that. I'm like, if I ever have another baby, we're definitely not finding out. But this time in my gut, I was like, I know it's a boy. Like I would have bet my life that it was a boy, just because it was super similar to Albie's pregnancy. Like everything was the same. I was carrying the same, and I just knew that it was a boy. Matt's one of three boys, and yeah, boys just seem to sort of run rampant in our family. So yeah, I knew that it was a boy. I had the same midwife. Yeah, I had the same midwife. And when we started talking about having a baby, I was like, the thought of not having her just gave me anxiety, because she was so amazing, and she I absolutely adored her. And I know how short staffed they are, like how, you know, there's such a shortage of them. So I actually emailed her and I said, hey, Jane, if you'll have me again, like we're thinking about having another baby, and is there any time next year that you wouldn't be available that we should like try and avoid having a baby around? Looking back, it seems so stupid because you can't control these things, but she was like, no, I'm, you know, as far as I know, I'm around the whole time, and just as soon as you find out, you know, like make sure that you send me a text.
Yeah.
And so literally like 3 weeks later, I was like, hey, me again, we're pregnant. So that was funny. Yeah, so that made me feel so much better. I just think, you know, the fact she knew what happened with Albie's birth, and she knew Matt and I, and you know, especially not having any family here, she was like my comfort blanket. So yeah, no, that was all good. But yeah, as I said, I felt really good, so I was lucky.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah,
cool. Yeah. And what about birth education this time around? So did you choose to do antenatal classes again, and did you do any other sort of educational stuff going into labor and birth?
I did your birth project, which I absolutely loved. Like, honestly, I think I can't thank you enough for that. I think, like, literally that gave me the confidence to sign up for a home birth. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
No, honestly, it was amazing. And I think surrounding that, I just, like, once I'd committed to having a home birth, I was like, right, I need to make sure that I absolutely, like, immerse myself in positive stories.
Yeah.
I think that was one thing, like, our society is so obsessed with bad births. When I was pregnant, people would be like, oh my God, are you so scared? And I was like, no, not at all. Like, you know, I fully trust my body. And even after I had Albie, I can't remember, I was out at a cafe and I saw a lady that I'd seen a few times while I was pregnant. She was like, how was your birth? And I was like, oh my God, it was so good. Like, I actually really enjoyed it. And she was like, no, like, you're lying. You're just saying that. And I was like, what is this about, you know, this obsession with horrible births? And so it was really important for me to, like, not let that come into my, you know, birth world, if you like. Yeah. So I was like watching so many YouTube. I'm pretty sure that I watched every single home birth, water birth video on YouTube. And yeah, I went back and I read Ina May's guide again. I listened to obviously your podcast, but I went through like the Australian birth stories podcast, and I picked like all the hypnobirthing home birth ones.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that everything that I was listening to like reinforced what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I made sure that I like practiced my breathing. Like every night I would put on some hypnobirthing tracks, and, you know, look through my affirmations and stuff. Like I really felt it was really important for me to be in the right mindset. Mm. Don't get me wrong. There was a couple of times, like when I was maybe 36, 37 weeks and I went to see Jane, she was like, how are you feeling about everything? And I gave her the biggest hug and I was like, I'm just really scared. Like, you know, I'm just scared because I've signed up to do it with nothing. Like I love the gas and air last time, and like, that's not an option, I'm just really scared. And she said the best thing, she said, you would feel like this whether you were having a home birth, whether you were booked in for a cesarean, like, it's just the unknown. And I was really thankful that she said that, because I actually think that's so true. Like, no matter how you're birthing, there's always going to be this element of you know, questioning, I suppose, or just so but I just made sure that I kind of kept that in check, and if I was feeling those feelings, I'd just talk about them. So I think Matt probably was driven insane with me being like, I just listened to this hypnobirthing track, or like, I just listened to this podcast and this happened to this lady. But no, I definitely, like, leading up to it, I felt so good. I hired a birth pool, I got a TENS machine. Yeah, I was like really looking forward to it. So yeah, I felt really good going into it.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. And did you do like a birth plan? I know that you said you have it, you wanted to have a home birth, and so that sort of rules out the pain relief and that sort of stuff. But did you definitely want to have a water birth, or were you sort of open to where at home you gave birth, or what were your thoughts there?
So I should have said, actually, one of the other reasons that we really wanted to have a home birth was because of Albie. Like, us, Matt's from the UK as well, and us, like, not having any family here, we, like, we've got a couple of really good friends, but nobody that I would be comfortable ringing in the night and saying, hey, can you come and get Albie? And so obviously we had, you know, plan B of people that you know, could come and take him if I did have to go to hospital, but that was a huge factor. And so we had a couple of practice runs with the birth pool just blowing up in the lounge, and I had above where the birth pool was going to be, I had all my affirmations on the wall so that I could look at them while I was in the pool. We had like fairy lights up, and we had the same birth playlist. But yeah, I think it was, I was quite conscious that statistically most people go into labor at night. So I just said to Matt, make sure that the room's, you know, dimly lit with the fairy lights on and just like some music on the TV and stuff. But yeah, I definitely wanted to have the baby in the water, because I didn't get to have that with Albie, and I just really wanted to experience that. So yeah, my midwife's really on board with that. She loves doing home births, and it's sort of, I guess, her speciality. So I felt really comfortable with that. And I should have mentioned as well, I had a student midwife with Jane at Albie's birth, and I had a lovely student midwife this time around as well, which was amazing. So yeah,
cool. And what about your preparation for birth? So I know that you said you didn't do too much in the way of like antenatal expressing or anything last time, but did you look into that this time, and did you do anything else in preparation for birth?
So I was doing the raspberry leaf tea. I didn't like the taste of it, so I put it in with like some other fruit tea bag. I don't know why I didn't do that the first time around. That sort of helped. Again, with the dates, I had to hold my nose while I was eating them so I couldn't taste them, because they were horrible. But I was like, oh, I might as well, you know, like, I don't know if it's going to work or not, but I might as well. I was still going to the gym up until, I think I was like 38 weeks with both of my pregnancies. So yeah, again, I was lucky that I could do that. I did do perineal massage a couple of times, but I kept thinking, am I doing it right? Like, it just felt a bit sort of weird. And I think it's one of those things that you really have to commit to. And I just like didn't. So I can't really claim that I did it very often. It was a couple of times. And then I was like, oh, I don't know if it will make a difference, so I'll just stop. But I didn't do any antenatal expressing either. No. So yeah, not too much, not too much.
Cool. Yeah. And do you want to talk us through this labour? Was it spontaneous, and how far along were you? And then into your birth story.
Sure. So because I had Albie like 39 and a few days, the whole time I was like, oh, second baby, like going to be even earlier. So from like 38 weeks, the whole time I was like, oh, you know, it could be any day now. But the same thing happened with Miller that had happened with Albie. Like, he was super high up, never more than 2/5 engaged, never felt like I was going to give birth. And I went to see my midwife at 40 and 1. So yeah, my due date came and went, and I was like to Matt, oh my god, I've never experienced this, like, what is happening? And I feel like I can't really say I got fed up, because, you know, some people I know go like 2 weeks over their due date, but I really was getting fed up. Like, I really got into my head, like, why is this baby not coming? So at 40 and one, I talked to Jane about that, and she offered me a stretch and sweep, and everything that I'd looked into around stretch and sweeps, it was like, if baby's ready, then it helps. And if baby's not ready, it won't do anything. So in my mind, even though I didn't want any interventions with regards to my birth, I was like, well, I might as well just try it. If baby's sort of ready to come. So I had a stretch and sweep, which actually was like absolutely fine. I'd heard, you know, some people I know, it's like super uncomfortable and stuff, but it was just like, you know, it was like getting a smear or something, like not exactly pleasant, but it didn't hurt or anything. And as soon as I left that appointment, we were taking Albie to Leap, which is like the trampoline park. So I was like, not bouncing, but I was like running on the trampolines and stuff. And I was like to Matt, oh my God, I need to go to the toilet. And I went to the bathroom and I'd lost my plug. So I came back and I was like, oh, the stretch and sweep obviously worked. So that was like half an hour later. So that was good. And I started, like, my belly started tightening, which I never had with Albie. And that was the most that anything had ever happened. So I thought, oh, you know, this is good. Like, something's happening. I didn't get too excited, but I went to bed that night and I woke up about 11:30 with like light period pains. And I was like, okay, something's happening, but I won't get excited. We'll just, you know, wait and see what happens. So I went back to sleep, and at maybe 1 o'clock, I couldn't lie still anymore. Like, you know, I was like tossing and turning and it was getting quite uncomfortable. And I'd hired a TENS machine, and everything that I'd seen or read said that you should try and put the TENS machine on as early as possible, just so that you can like build up the resilience, I guess, to it. So I said to Matt, can you help me put the TENS machine on my back? And then, bless him, he was like, should I blow up the pool? Like, should we start filling it up? And I was like, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But, you know, because I'd never had any Braxton Hicks or anything, I was pretty confident that like something was happening. And so at maybe 1 o'clock in the morning, we went into the lounge, and it was funny because the whole time when I was preparing, you know, I was like listening to all the affirmations and the hypnobirthing tracks and stuff. And then at that time, I was like, I need something on to distract me. And so we put The Inbetweeners on Netflix. And I've watched that to death, so I know it off by heart. But it was so good to like have that in the background, just like a distraction. And, you know, when I wasn't having contractions, I was laughing and I was like, oh, this is really good for, you know, to get the endorphins going and stuff. So I actually found that quite interesting that at the time I didn't want to listen to the hypnobirthing tracks or anything. Like, I was still doing the breathing, but it was just good to have something on in the background as a complete distraction. Matt was blowing up the pool, filling it up and stuff, and I was just like, the contractions were coming on pretty thick and fast by then. I had the TENS machine on, which I'm not sure how much it actually helped, but it was just a good distraction. Like, every time I was having a contraction, I would turn it up. And we rung my midwife at maybe 4 o'clock because I really didn't want to bother her. I was like, what if I get her round? And she's like, you're not even in labor. But I was pretty sure that I was. And I started feeling quite a lot of pressure like down there. And so I said to Matt, oh, like, you know, the contractions are pretty close together and I can feel quite a lot of pressure. So I think you should probably ring her. And yeah, so they were still super manageable. I was like squatted. So I had my face in the cushions on the couch and I was on my knees, which seems a bit weird, but it kind of worked, just taking the pressure off. And so my midwife got here at about 5 o'clock along with the student midwife, and she said, do you want me to examine you? And I was like, no, that was really important to me because I just thought, if she examines me and tells me I'm 4 centimeters, I'm going to lose the plot. So I just fully trusted what was going on. She was really on board with that, and she said, and a good thing she said was like, do you want to put your fingers in and see if you can feel anything? So I was like, okay. So I put my fingers in, I was like, oh my God, I can feel the baby's head. Like, it was still quite far up, but to me I was like, oh my God, like, it's actually happening, you know. And so she said, okay, well, if you can feel the baby's head, are you okay for me to just have a quick check and make sure everything's all right, there's no lip or anything there? So I was like, yeah. And as she went to give me an examination, she like popped my waters, or like they just went. And thank God she'd been there, because as soon as she got there and she saw that I was kneeling by the couch, she was like, oh, we better put some sheets and stuff under you just in case, you know, anything happens. And thank God she did, because a couple of minutes later my waters just gushed all over the sheets that she'd put down. So I hadn't even thought about that. So that was good. And then she said, right, well, if you're feeling pushy and your waters have gone, you should probably hop in the pool. So I jumped in the pool and she rung another, you know, because you have to have two midwives at home birth. So she rung the backup midwife who arrived and she was really nice. I felt heaps of pressure, like, as soon as I got in the pool. And so I was like to Jane, I don't really know what to do. Like, do I push now? Or I don't really know. Like, I don't remember feeling everything like that with Albie. And she said, if you need to push, just go with it. Like, just push. And so I was pushing for maybe 10 minutes, but I sort of, it was weird. I felt like I was forcing it. Like, I felt like, because I was having heaps of pressure every time I got a contraction, I was pushing, but like nothing was happening. And yeah, I just felt like I was forcing it. So after like 10 minutes, I was like to her, I don't know what to do. Like, why is nothing happening? I feel like it's, you know, it's not working. Like, I don't know what to do. And she said, okay, either you can stay in the pool. We'll just see how you go for the next kind of, you know, 15, 20 minutes. Obviously she was monitoring the baby the whole time. Baby was fine. And she said, or you can hop out, you can lie on the couch. We'll do a full examination just to see where you're at. And I looked at Matt and I said, what should I do? And he was like, what does your gut tell you to do? And I was like, stay in the pool. I don't want to be examined in case, you know, I'm like not even dilated or whatever. Like, I could feel the baby's head. So I knew that I was, you know, I was getting there, but I just didn't want to start questioning what I was doing.
Yeah.
So I felt really strongly about that. So I stayed in the pool, and within maybe 5 minutes of me making that decision, like, something just changed. Like, my contractions just fully ramped up and I had this like overwhelming urge to like bear down and just push. So when he came out, it turned out that he'd sort of been like, his head was a bit crooked. So when I was pushing, it was just like his head was just pushing against the side inside me. So I guess once, I don't know, I changed positions or something, it meant that he could shift and come out a bit easier. So I definitely felt that shift as soon as like I was changing positions and stuff. So that was good to kind of get an explanation afterwards. It wasn't just me like doing something wrong. Anyway, so I was only pushing for about 10 minutes or something, and the living room door just like opened and Albie walked in and it was like 6:30 in the morning and he was all bleary eyed and all these people in the room, and he was like, is baby coming? And I was like, yeah, the baby's coming, because we'd talked for ages about how the baby was going to come out of mummy's tummy in the pool, and he'd met, you know, Jane and the student midwife heaps. So that was so special. Like, as soon as he walked in, I just felt this like rush of love, and I was like, oh my god, he's gonna watch the baby come. And I'm really glad I wasn't like losing the plot or screaming or anything, because I really didn't want to scare him. But he was like rubbing my arm and he was like, go mummy. And I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna lose the plot. So that was actually so like lovely that he watched his brother be born. Like, I feel really proud that I could give him that. Anyway, so yeah, I'm rambling, but about 10 minutes after pushing, Miller popped out and I lifted him out of the water and I put him on my chest, and I just remember looking at Matt and I was crying and I was like, I did it, I did it. So that was so nice. And we looked and I was like, it's a boy, of course it's a boy. I knew it was a boy. Anyway, so once I had him on my chest, I was losing quite a lot of blood. Like, the water kind of turned quite dark. So Jane said that I should probably hop out just so that they could monitor how much blood I was losing. And so I lay down on the couch, and I sat up on the couch, sorry, with Albie on my chest, and I birthed the placenta. I didn't have the injection or anything. I was able to do that naturally, which was good. And I latched Miller on straight away. So I was really lucky. I literally latched him on and he was like gulping the milk. I was like, wow, another good feeder. So that was really cool. And when I was looking at him, I was like, wow, he looks massive. When I had Albie, he was 7 pounds 1 and Miller was 8 pounds 11. So I'm only 5'1". So to have a big baby, and like, my bump was no bigger or anything. So that was crazy that he was so much bigger. And I did have to have a couple of stitches like internally from where his head was pushing like awkwardly during the birth. And again, it was the whole, like, that was honestly the worst bit about the whole experience. So I had Miller feeding, which this time actually was quite a good distraction. Like, I didn't want to just get him off me straight away. But yeah, I did have to have a couple of internal stitches afterwards, which wasn't very nice. But yeah, overall, I literally, like, it was like an absolute dream. When people say, how was your birth? It was like amazing. And I'm super glad that it all worked out in terms of, like, I labored overnight while Albie was still in bed, and then he could, like, watch, you know, Miller be born and stuff. Yeah. So that was really cool. And then it fell on his day to go to nursery. So Miller was like 2 hours old, and Matt packed him off in the car and he went to nursery. And so we were able to have the day at home, just the three of us, while Matt tidied up the pool and stuff, bless him. But yeah, that was really cool. So I'm super happy with how it all went. And I feel I kind of don't want to, like, talk about how amazing it was, because I know that not all births are like that, but I feel so proud of myself that I was able to have the birth that I wanted. Yeah. So super chuffed.
Yeah. Awesome. No, you should definitely talk about it. We need more and more and more of these stories. So yeah, beautiful.
I know, but people kind of look at you a bit weirdly when they say, how was the labour? And you're like, oh my God, it was amazing. I'd do it all again tomorrow. They're like, what? But yeah, I think doing all of, like, the work, if you like, around, like, mindset and just immersing yourself in these positive stories makes such a difference. And I think the more people understand that and the more they talk about it, the more, you know, that'll be the case for lots of other people.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. And how did you find, I guess, those first few days and weeks? Obviously you don't have to come home from hospital because you've already given birth at home. So how did you adjust to, having a newborn and having a toddler and being a mum of two and recovering from your birth? How was all of that?
Definitely, I feel like it took me a little bit longer to feel like myself again. I don't know if it was because he was a bigger baby or what, but yeah, I definitely think everything was a bit more sort of swollen and I felt a lot more tender than I did with Albie. But it was amazing, like, you know, after we'd had Miller and they'd done, you know, the midwife's done all the checks and stuff, they left and I was like, oh my God, that just happened. And yeah, we don't have to come home from hospital and I could just go curl up in my own bed with him and stuff. That was so good. And I really think that that helped me in terms of, like, being able to take it easy. Albie, like, absolutely adores Miller. He's such a lovely brother. And other than the odd hiccup, he's super gentle and he always wants to help and stuff, which is so nice. And it's made the shift so much easier.
Yeah.
And yeah, dare I say it, going from one to two has been so much easier than none to one. So if that gives you any comfort, you'll be sweet. I just feel like you kind of know a bit more what you're doing. Like, I'm not googling everything, I'm not, like, watching him breathing and stuff. Like, I just feel way more chilled about everything. We made sure that we put Miller on the bottle a lot earlier. So he's 10 weeks now. I think we started him on the bottle when he was like 4 weeks, just because of what happened with Albie. So that's been really nice. Like, I can express, and, you know, I can leave him with Matt for a little while if he needs to be left, which is really good. The one thing I have definitely struggled with this time, like, emotionally, I guess, is we don't have any family here. My sister's about to have a baby in, like, the next few days. And I'm really struggling with, like, I literally have no idea when anyone's going to meet Miller, like, when we're going to see our families again. So I think I find that really hard. Like, I want to have that support, but we just don't. And so many people are in a such worse off position. But looking back, I'm like, I can't believe that my mum and dad came out when I had Albie. I didn't even really need help, but now I have two and I really need some help. And, you know, that's quite hard. And now Matt's back at work and the newborn bubble's kind of been burst and, you know, you just go back to life. But yeah, second child, he's super cruiser. He just kind of goes with the flow. So yeah, we've been really lucky.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. And is there anything else that you'd like to share about your story or any of your sort of journey or birth that you haven't covered?
I know I keep harping on about it, but I think, like, your mindset has so much to do with it. Like, if you go into birth and you're really scared and you're like, it's not going to work out, or, you know, it's going to go horribly, it probably will, because you've resigned yourself to that. I think people say, oh, you're so lucky you had a good birth. I'm like, I don't think that luck had anything to do with it. You know, I put in the hard work behind closed doors, if you like, and made sure that I did everything possible to get the birth that I wanted. And the people around me, like Matt and my midwife, they were all amazing and fully supported that.
Yeah.
You know, obviously I wouldn't have been stupid about it. Like if the advice was to go to hospital or what have you, then of course I would have. But I definitely think that like trusting the process, we don't really question our ability to grow a baby and, you know, but when it comes to birth, like we question everything. And so, yeah, I definitely just think that trusting the process. And, you know, like I said, I kind of feel ashamed of the fact that I had a really positive birth, because people don't like to hear that if they haven't. So I think, yeah, the more we talk about it, the more we can kind of encourage others to, yeah, to have a really positive experience as well. So,
yeah,
I really don't think that labour should be feared. It should be like, look, you know, something to look forward to, because it's just the most amazing thing. And yeah, I'd do it all again tomorrow. I'm one of those freaks that like loves pregnancy and loves birth and stuff. Yeah. So it makes me really sad that we're sort of having the conversation if Miller will be our last or not, because yeah, I might never get to experience that again. But yeah, the daily reality of kids is really hard, isn't it? So yeah, being pregnant and giving birth is the tiniest part of having babies, so we'll see. Watch this space.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Hannah, for coming on the podcast and sharing your stories with us. I've really loved talking to you, and I know that there'll be lots of people out there that really love your episode, so thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And thank you for everything that you do. I think you've, inspired lots and lots of ladies out there. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode of Kiwi Birth Tales. I hope you have enjoyed it. I would love to hear your feedback. If you want to send me a message on Instagram at Kiwi Birth Tales, or you want to send me an email, kiwibirthtales@gmail.com. Yeah, I would love to hear from you. If you are interested in the Your Birth Project course that Hannah talks about in her episode, then head over to @yourbirthproject on Instagram or www.yourbirthproject.com. Can't wait to bring you another beautiful episode next week. I am looking forward to it.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.